This is Pirate Nick here with Pirate Jimmy, and we're at the third annual Artivist Film Festival in Hollywood, California. One of the films screened here focuses on the Lakota tribe of Native American Indians, and it's entitled Spirit Riders, Riding to Mend the Sacred Hoop. And we had a chance after the screening to talk with director and photographer of the film, James Leinart, and writer-producer, Michael Shipley. Here's that conversation.
Let's start off with how did this come about for you guys?
Well, I can answer the this is Michael Shipley. I can answer the simple part of that for me, which is that James had already shot more than 100 hours of footage when he and I met. We were introduced by a mutual friend, and so it was really a matter of going over the footage he'd already shot of the Lakota, and there were so many possible stories to tell in that. It was a matter of having lots of conversations, looking at all these different things people had said, and spending weeks writing things down, and then starting to see connections between the different issues that different people mentioned, and slowly, slowly forming a plot line, as it were, a sort of storyline. It took a while, but it was a very interesting experience.
Now, James, how did you come to start writing with the Lakotas? How did you find out about the first writer?
Well, it was more of an organic process. This was, 10 years ago now. I was actually an actor and a stuntman, and I had a very serious injury, which took me back to a healing state. And through my convalescence, I started going to different sweat lodges and different American Indian healing ceremonies. And then I got involved in American Indian activism and started documenting different activism movements that dealt with environmental causes. And through meeting different Native people in that circle, they then turned me on to the riders, and the riders invited me to start coming on the rides and documenting the rides.
Now, there was a first ride that started this whole movement, correct? Explain to us what that ride was and why it came about.
Well, the first ride was the first ride to Wounded Knee. It was the 100-year anniversary in 1990, and that was, to commemorate that 100-year anniversary and to make a statement to the world that the Lakota Nation is still here.
That's the 100-year anniversary of the massacre at Wounded Knee.
And it was a big grassroots effort by Lakota people to return to their traditional ways and to, embody the Lakota way. And as you can see from watching the film today, that first ride has really grown and prospered into all these other rides and also a cultural resurgence within the Lakota Nation.
If I could just add to that part of what drew me to this storyline initially was looking at that ride, because it really is the story of the psychic and literal recovery of a culture from a physical and psychic trauma, which was that massacre in 1890. And there's so many parallels between that and what America has been going through the last few years, trying to deal and recover from an assault, a physical and psychic assault from without, in some way other than violent retribution or depressive disintegration, which is essentially what the Lakota experienced for 100 years. And then they got to a point where they said, no, this isn't working. We need to, as they say in the movie, move on as a people, not forget, but start attending the task of living as a people and celebrating life.
And the interesting thing is that the moving on is going back.
Yes.
Isn't it? It's
yes.
Going back to connecting with the land.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's something that America could benefit from today. I think there's so many wonderful parts of traditional American culture. Community, connectedness, support for your neighbors. I mean, these are all things that are very much a part of America that have not been getting highlighted lately. And I think in our ways we could do well to turn back to some of our more traditional values. Has become a very loaded phrase, but those traditional values of love and support and community all seem like something we could use more of.
Michael, did you ever go on one of the rides?
No, I haven't. I've been James's silent partner out here in California the whole time.
Yeah. So James, tell me about your experience on the rides. What's it like?
Well, it's pretty profound. When you travel with horses and people like that over great distances, you really get to know people well. The elements, the challenges, you face it all together. So over the course of, whether you're on a ride for a couple days or a couple weeks, you really get to know people. and being with Lakota people and learning about their profound culture through the horse rides is really amazing, because you have a lot of time out there, a lot of quiet time, a lot of time for elders and other Lakota people to storytell and share with you their ancient, profound ways. And then just being on the horses, being out in nature, bonding with nature like that, really allowing your mind to expand, you know, and think and be, where you're not, you know, you don't have to watch the clock or the cell phone and all those crazy things that we have to deal with in the modern world. And bonding with the horses are amazing creatures. And my next film is called Horse Medicine, which deals with the human-horse relationship. And what I've learned about horses is it's sublime.
I've noticed that there was a lot more of these rides. It all started from that one, and now it's become, you know, there's so many more across the United States and even in other countries. Do you see them expanding, and even the amount of riders that go on these, has it grown throughout the years?
It has. I mean, from the first ride I started documenting was in 98, and over the last, 7 years now, like I said, I think there were like 40 kids on that first ride. There's now well over 100. And so it's becoming really, really popular with the youth. And they're finding that the youth that participate in these rides, they do better in school, they're less likely to get in trouble or have substance abuse problems, that type of thing. So it's a really, really positive thing that's happening in the Lakota Nation. And now there's other tribes as well that are doing these rides. And they're finding that connecting with the land, with the horses, kind of returning to these traditional ways, is really what feeds their soul and is empowering them as a people.
And as we talk about in the film, too, that when these riders have been invited to go to other countries, and although those people in the other countries don't do these rides every year, the fact that they've taken the time 1 year to connect with this very different culture and see the similarities between what they're going through and what Native Americans are going through.
I thought that was a fantastic part of the film, was linking all of the Native cultures together and how they've been invited to all of these countries for that.
Well, they're called Peace and Unity Rides, and as you hear in the film, there really is a lot of talk about how there are many, many things that connect all of us, and there's so many forces in the world today that want to see other cultures and other traditions as different and dangerous. Even Viggo Mortensen talks about how the soldiers at Wounded Knee were probably set in a state of half panic already by the media of their time to believe that they were going to be attacked by these Indians who were on death's door. You know, that's so familiar to so many things that are going on in the world today. And so that reaching out to other cultures and connecting with other cultures feels like an important part of the message that we hope gets out through this movie.
I have a logistical question about the rides. How is the route chosen? On a lot of these rides, they're going such great distances. Are they having to follow highways, or are they getting certain right of ways to go out into free land?
Well, they have a general idea of where they're going, but believe me, we get out on the trail and we're like, do we go left, do we go right, do we go straight? And sometimes you'll ride 5 miles and realize you've gone the wrong way. We try to ride on the land as much as possible. Sometimes we will ride on roads, but they're usually small back roads, and we'll usually ride like on the side in the ditch where the grass is. It's just much easier for the horses. But when we can, we cut cross country, because it just gives you, it's more of a challenge, it's just funner. It really puts you in a much more natural setting away from things.
Was that often private land, like large ranches, or ever run into problems?
Yeah, there has been problems. There has been some ranchers who have gotten upset when you cut across their land. And so that I have seen, I've documented that on some of the rides, where we've had an angry rancher or two get upset. But by and large, people, you know, they are friendly about it. And they're like, if you want to cut across, no problem. Just make sure you open and close the gates. So.
And James, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's always a clear sense of where the ride is going to end up.
There is.
It's just a matter of the route is a little bit up in the air as you go, because it's heading in the Peace and Unity rides that they're always heading for a particular sacred site in which to do the ceremony.
Yeah.
And of course, at the Wounded Knee rides, you're heading for Wounded Knee.
I know you guys are looking for distribution right now, so funding kind of comes into it. How did you find money to get the film put together?
Like a lot of independent filmmakers. By hook or by crook.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces, yeah. You know, people have donated money along the way.
Yeah. People have donated. Whenever I work a job, all that money goes into this film. This has been a labor of love. Put everything I have into this project. But we have had some good donors as well. So it's managed to stay afloat and get this far, you know, through the grace of others, I think willpower, and a little line begging and stealing. So, yeah.
Well, I thought it was shot beautifully. Obviously, when you're out in the wilderness area and the plains, you know, it gave you an opportunity to get a lot of great shots. How much of that ended up on the, you know, did a lot of beautiful shots end up on the cutting room floor? How was the editing done on that?
Hours worth didn't make it in.
Yeah, hours, literally hours. We have two other rough cut films which follow this up. So there's three films in the Spirit Rider series now. And so there's some more very, very beautiful footage in those two films. But it's a beautiful collection, over 400 hours shot in the Western United States. And so you got a taste of it in the film. But hopefully that collection will make it into an archive somewhere and be seen someday.
One of my favorite stories to tell about that is we were meeting with a PR rep, that was a couple of years ago, I think, and she had seen the film and was asking us questions, and she was asking these funny questions about the footage, sort of tippy-toeing around, sort of like, oh, it was really beautiful, and finally I realized that she was trying to figure out where we had gotten all this footage. And
really?
I said, oh, no, James shot every bit of that himself. And her jaw literally just dropped. She was speechless. She couldn't believe that he'd actually shot all that nature footage.
What were you shooting on? What was the camera?
Well, when I started in 1996, all I had was an 8mm video camera. Then I got a Sony VX1000, my first 3-chip digital camera. And then I advanced to Canon XL1. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was shot on. You know, the Canon, of course, the optics on that camera are really nice, and it takes a very sweet picture. And what you saw on the screen there today, it was actually a little distorted and a little dark. If you can see it on a really well-balanced monitor, it really looks nice. So, yeah.
How was it operating the camera in 40 degrees below zero weather? Because a lot of these rides took place, and some of the first rides took place in the wintertime, mm-hmm. And in the dead of winter. And you mentioned to me earlier that the wind chill could take you down to 40 degrees below.
Well,
and not only on the camera, but on you and the riders. Yeah. What was that like?
Well, I don't know. I grew up in Wisconsin, which is a very cold place, and then I used to ski professionally on the U.S. ski team. So for me, cold weather is no big deal. The camera is the thing you're most concerned about, hoping that, you know, your tape doesn't freeze. So you're constantly, like, putting it close to your body and huddling the camera close to your body under your jacket, and then you pull it out and shoot, and then you have to put the camera back close to your body. It's like your baby. So it is a bit of a juggling act.
If somebody wants to get some more information on the rides or any other website or any information, where would they go?
Well, on the movie, spiritridersmovie.com, spiritridersfoundation.org. There's some other people out in Lakota country. They're in the phone book. You could call up Alex Whiteplume, Mel Lonehill, Menasha Hill. These people could, you know, give people information on rides. They're very grassroots. They're, you know, always kind of come together, last moment, that type of thing. But they're going on. So.
One last question. Seeing this movie, I think, will change everybody inside a little bit in a certain way. You two being so intimately involved in it, how has it changed you?
Wow, I almost don't know how to answer. I mean, I'm going to get choked up. I mean, it's been an honor to learn many more specifics about Lakota culture. I was somewhat familiar with Native American culture in California, but through this movie I've learned to really love and honor Lakota culture. I've also learned a tremendous amount about what a fine person James is and what an amazing spirit he has and how that shines through this movie. it, I think it's also made me feel, as we hope other people do when they see the film, even more connected with other people, with other cultures, you know, to start seeing that commonality. When Ron is Horse's Thunder at the end talks about how if you go back to the real origins of any culture, you see tremendous similarities with what these particular Native Americans are looking at and doing. So I think it, you know, it had those effects on me. It's a hard question to answer.
That's really
it's deep.
Tough. Oh, gosh. Can you say it? Ask the question again?
Do you want me to change it slightly?
I'm similar to a lot of Americans. I was kind of caught up in American pop culture and the shallowness of that. And through this experience, it has reconnected me to the earth, to many people. Like Michael is saying, it is about peace and unity, and it has connected me to many, many people. So I would say it's reconnected me to things that are truly important. So
fantastic. Thank you guys very much, James.
Yeah, thank you.
And Michael, thanks a lot.